This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
About 4 minutes, your chance to win $1,000. Plenty of seriousness with Facebook policies, Matt Lauer, and politics. We'll get to lighter items here. Adam, the fan, and WCCO, and KDWB, and a variety of radio stations, we all come together, and we're announcing that Halloween this year is October 31st, okay? And I say the business, the media community coming together. You are consistently October 31st for Halloween, correct? You're not inclined to move it to a Saturday?
No, I like the 31st.
31st. Cook, tell me 31st, right?
Yeah. Why would you mess with that?
For the drunkards. You know,
who are going to be drunk anyway. So
exactly. They're fine. Yeah. They're fine. Okay. They'll adjust. And the kids, by the way, the kids have to get to school. It shuts down at 7:45. Okay. How many kids are really asleep at 7:45? And guess what? The ones then be done at 7 o'clock. Okay. But we have a new survey of the least favorite Halloween candy. Cook saw it. So he's out. I've got it in front of me. I'm out. Take a shot, Halloween Wizard, the least
favorite.
It's Halloween candy.
It is a candy, right? It's not. We're not saying that like a piece of fruit.
Nope.
Okay, so this is an actual brand name candy.
It is a recognizable one. You know it.
I'm going to say,
and I agree. It's disgusting. Should be wiped away from civilization. Cook, you with me? Wiped away
from totally
civilization.
Totally disagree.
Okay. Dan's going back to his ISIS meeting after the show.
I'm just confused. I just want some more specifics.
Okay.
Is it a name brand candy or is it a...
No, it's not a name brand.
It's not.
It's a type.
Yeah.
Candy corn is too easy.
It's candy corn.
Oh.
It's candy corn.
I guess so.
Exactly. And it's horrible.
Not horrible.
It's horrible.
Not horrible.
It's horrible.
I'd take other things on that list.
They're passing it out to the 10,000 ISIS prisoners right now.
Have you ever combined it with peanuts, though?
What did I tell you in the email this morning when I sent that story? Candy corn, peanuts, it's a great snack.
Good combination.
Okay, well, absolutely. I know he does it when he's high. Why do you do it?
It's just the sweet-salty combo. It's nice.
I like the sweet-salty combo.
Right.
It's
well,
excellent.
It's right
popcorn and Reese's Pieces, but candy corn, disgusting. Text me, 651-989.
What exactly is disgusting about it? The texture? Is it a
yes, keep
flavor?
Going. Yes, keep going.
Too sweet for you?
No, not too sweet. It looks, the texture, how it looks.
Really?
How it tastes.
It's like sugar.
I mean, always disappointed.
Put it under your lips and pretend like you got fangs. It's great.
I haven't done that, but okay.
You've never done that?
I've never
put
done
two
that.
Two pieces of candy corn no. And look like you got fangs?
No, I've never done that.
You're the only one in this room with maturity. Okay, so.
Well, and that's debatable.
I'm not sure you should be proud of it, but text me 651-989-9226. Just one word on candy corn. I'm going with disgusting. Cook, you're going with euphoria, apparently.
No, I'm going with properly rated.
That's hello. One word.
Okay, properly.
Properly. Newsman.
You could hyphenate it, couldn't
one
you?
Word on candy corn.
Tradition.
Oh. Jim Nance is with us. Why don't you take your tie off and give it to somebody right now? All right, I'm going to give you some other candies that are not popular and also candy that is popular. As once again, we are reporting Halloween this year is October 31st. But right now, how about a chance for you to win some money? Maybe even $1,000. Let's go. It is the AK Workday Giveaway from CCO, brought to you by Eyewitness News at noon on 45 TV. The code word is honey. Honey, something Adam calls me on a regular basis. Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, 72881. That's where you send it. Or, Adam, I still think if you shout it out your car window, it also applies. Honey, H-O-N-E-Y. Text it 72881. National contest. You might win $1,000 just by listening to this fine radio show. Paul and Jordana will play again in an hour. Among the words coming in on candy corn, dry heaves, yuck, awesome, lovely, lovely. Come, I mean, really? Lovely? No way. Okay. By the way, candy corn, a favorite in six states, Alabama, Idaho, Michigan, New Mexico, Rhode Island, South Carolina. I don't care for any of those states already. You don't care for any of those states either.
No, these state rankings. So this is number one Halloween candy in each state?
Yeah. No, yeah, and candy corn is number one in those states.
Yeah. They had, so I saw one the other day, number one movie candy in each state is Almond Joy in Minnesota. I've never seen anybody eating an Almond Joy in a movie theater.
What, are you going row by row? I mean,
Almond Joy, you know, please.
But it was great. You know what the number one thing in Wisconsin was?
Beer.
Slices of cheese.
No,
yeah,
seriously?
Yes, yeah.
Rounding out the least favorites among candy. Bit of honey. I don't like bit of honey.
Bit of a loser.
Good and plenty. What are you saying on good and plenty?
Not good, not plenty, no thank you.
Yeah. Licorice.
Well, red, not black.
Yeah. You know, can Jerry bring in some more red licorice? Can he just leave it, you know? Smarties. Eh. Yeah. Tootsie Rolls. I'm kind of, I mean, they're fine. Are you excited if
no,
you get a Tootsie
no.
Roll? No. Necco wafers?
Oh, yeah, those are awful.
I'm trying to remember.
It's like
those.
Eating chalk. You'd recognize if I show you here. Okay. I got a picture.
Wax Coke bottles.
Those are awful, too.
Peanut butter kisses and circus peanuts. Why am I blanking on circus?
Oh, those are nasty.
The big orange.
Oh, yeah. God, that's absolutely disgusting. Favorites. Hershey bars. Right, okay. Skittles, yes. Sour Patch Kids. Butterfingers. Nerds. M&M's. Kit Kat, Twix, and Snickers.
Here's the Necco wafer picture.
Oh, yeah.
It's like chalk.
Yeah, no, thanks. We're at Reese's Pieces. Reese's Pieces is the most underappreciated candy out there. It brings the greatness of the Reese's peanut butter cup and incorporates the subtlety of the plain M&M.
You don't know what you're talking about, idiot.
It's fantastic. This is from the guy who doesn't like Reese's peanut butter cups. You.
Yeah.
Even ISIS is ashamed of you about that particular take.
Good.
Cook, have you ever met somebody on the planet
Look,
who says, I don't like Reese's peanut butter?
We've discussed at length my food issues, and,
yes.
And I fully cop to all of them. And I love Reese's peanut butter cups and Reese's Pieces.
I feel better now.
Absolutely. They're fantastic.
What is your problem on this one?
Nothing. They're disgusting.
I don't get, I mean, there are people, I know, Adam's not the only one that I know. I know other people that just think that the combination of chocolate and peanut butter is just doesn't interest them whatsoever. I don't understand these people.
That's not it for me, though.
Wasn't it, though?
I do like chocolate and peanut butter together, but at Reese's, it's artificial, it's gross, it's grainy, it's disgusting.
It's what?
Grainy.
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 It's got that graininess to it.
Well, you'd always say it's chalky. Grainy. I don't know. How about therapy? Do we think therapy could bring them back?
I mean, we all pretty much need it.
Oh, so. Trust me. I need it more than anybody.
I've Googled the Necco wafers. I'm not familiar with these.
Do you feel better now? Do you think you...
They don't look too appealing.
No, they're terrible.
Another media organization going belly up. More items on that. And also, don't forget, you better listen to our station on radio.com. It is so simple. I'm holding my phone right here. Boom. Takes me about 3 seconds to go to that radio.com app. You can listen to our show. You can podcast. You can find Corey's show. You can find hundreds of other stations. It's the easiest way to listen to WCCO, radio.com. Multiple days now, we've and many others have talked about what's taking place with China. The NBA, all off Daryl Morey, the general manager's tweet, stand for Hong Kong. And then the owner of the Rockets saying he doesn't speak for us because we don't want to lose a lot of money. James Harden saying, hey, we love our Chinese fans, the NBA trying to walk the line of, yes, Daryl, we believe in his opportunity, his free speech rights, but also they don't want to lose an extraordinary amount of money. How the Chinese government and the Chinese basketball authority have reacted to it. Now up in the air about what's going to happen with a game between the Lakers and the Nets in China. Already parts, plans already pulled back. A Deadspin found an ESPN memo, Carter, where they said, basically, yeah, you can talk about this, but we don't want you getting in the weeds on the politics of what's taking place with China and Hong Kong. And this is, you know, this is an extension of ESPN and how they're trying to walk the line too. Because guess what? They're making a ton of money in Beijing, China, and obviously other prominent cities in China. But ESPN is still trying to walk this line of some feel like they had individuals who went too far in criticism towards the president. Jemele Hill, as an example, even though I probably pretty much agreed with about everything Jemele Hill said. And eventually Jemele Hill left. Le'Veon jumped into it recently. When Le'Veon nailed it regarding ESPN. And he basically said, we wait until a player talks about something important on politics, and then we all can jump in and just use that guy as a vehicle. We're fine. So now the memo basically says, yeah, just talk about what's going on, but don't talk about the politics. So they're all just trying to walk this line a little bit. It is interesting when the media outlets themselves, it can be radio stations, it can be papers, you name it, local, national, when all of a sudden you're under it, and when you're offering up commentary on a regular basis towards others, but all of a sudden you get sucked back into it, how it plays out. So let's see if ESPN, everybody stays true to that. ESPN's probably lucky right now, Adam, that Le'Veon's off. Because I'm guessing Le'Veon would jump back into it. How about this flat-out racist direction towards a Penn State player? Penn State is defending one of its players when an alum of Penn State, called his dreadlocks disgusting in a letter. A photo of the message was shared by his teammates on Twitter. The letter was signed by Dave Peterson. And he added this, though the athletes today are certainly superior to those of my day, we miss the clean-cut young men and women from those days. Watching the Idaho game on TV, we couldn't help but notice your, well, awful hair. Surely there must be mirrors in the locker room. Don't you have parents or girlfriend who told you those shoulder-length dreadlocks look disgusting and are certainly not attractive? In a statement, Penn State stood by Sutherland and said this, while we don't know the source of the letter or its authenticity, obviously its content does not align with our values. We strongly condemn this message or any message of intolerance. One of the teammates said, explaining to me how this isn't racist. Adam, this is racist. I'm sorry. You're targeting this kid and dreadlocks. Am I missing something? Isn't this crystal clear what this is about? Anybody want to push back?
If it's a white guy criticizing an African American's dreadlocks, it certainly reeks of racism. Yes.
Well, and I think what sealed the deal for me reading that story is when they reached this alum and ask him if he has a comment about the pushback against him. He stood by his comments and said, you know, I don't want our guys to look like those, quote, Florida State and Miami guys. So if you had any question about whether this was racist or not.
I
was going there at the end. I was saving that for the kind of
the
kicker at that point.
Well, it's okay if you're black and playing football for Penn State, but don't be too black.
That's it.
I mean, it's just absurd racist.
Ding, 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 ding. You nailed it. It's some white guy saying, oh, yeah, the blacks are okay, but don't be too black. And don't be looking like Florida State and Miami guys. This is probably the same type of guy who also said Joe Pa didn't see anything. Joe Pa knew nothing about this.
It's just astonishing to me in this day and age that people say stuff like, I don't. How you don't see this, the naked racism in that comment, it blows me away. I just don't get it. I don't get the mentality that this kind of person has. It's astonishing. It stuns me.
It's just naked racism.
Totally.
Right? It's the amount of individuals in our country who still are just flat out racist is remarkably sad. And how many of them have felt emboldened by the rise of white supremacists, right? And just the feeling now and the platforms and the way that you can speak out and more.
And it's almost the cluelessness involved. You know, don't you have a mirror? Don't you have a girlfriend or your parents? Wouldn't they tell you? As though the assumption that something subjective, like whether you think dreadlocks are attractive or not, which is completely subjective, should be obviously objective to everybody. I don't understand that mentality.
What do we think about the Rage Room, where the Flyers and the 76ers play, Wells Fargo Center, now a Rage Room, right? We gave the Vikings all sorts of credit. We're at U.S. Bank for kids who are on the autism spectrum, others who need just to get away. A room that is quiet. They can stay in there for an extended period of time. They have people in there to watch your kids. If you want to go back, if let's say you have other kids, bravo to the Vikings and other organizations who have done this. The Wells Fargo Center, Adam, has said, hey, we're Philly. We're Philly, and if you just want to get angry, if you want to melt down, we're going to give you room. Like any Philly fan needs a room to go somewhere. You know what their room is? The seat they're sitting in. I mean, they don't need a room. They don't think this is a problem. This is the place, Philly, that made fun of sweet little Millie. Remember when we had Millie Mania, Carter? When Millie was everywhere at the Vikings games, touting things. They had banners. They were mocking Millie. Philly doesn't need this. That's why. And I give due credit to the voice of the Vikings, PA, when I heard him talking about it the other day. But I tweeted out the idea. And again, love to have you follow us, the show on Twitter, at Chad Hartman Show. Close circuit to Steve LaCroix, Ziggy and Mark Wilf. I know the Wilfs listen all the time. Adam, absolutely, you've told me that many times. The Wilfs can't get enough, the podcast. Millie needs to have the horn. Carter, are you making that happen?
She wants to. I can't, but I'm all for Millie blowing the horn. What do you call it again? The yell horn? You spelled it right in your tweet, though, too. I think you really like that horn, I think.
I'm not the one who just said blows the horn.
What else do you do to a horn?
I think that's it. Do you think you're really doing that? Do you think whatever they do is having any effect on the
Are you
noise?
Trying? I did wonder, I mean, does Millie have the lung capacity?
Yeah.
Because it's a big horn.
Boy, you don't think it works? Really works?
No, I think it's a – I think it
really?
We got a button.
Come on.
We got a button. We got a – but, I mean, don't you think that television would love it?
Well, the Rage Room?
If Millie's up there with the Gallahorn, yeah, I had to look it up. I didn't know the spelling, by the way. I mean, no chance.
Oh, yeah, television would love
Come
it.
Come on!
I want a Rage Room here, though. I think that's a fantastic idea.
In this building?
Well, yeah. Are you kidding?
The Rage Room.
Go in there and break a bunch of stuff? That'd be great.
That'd be good. Rich Gannon, we recorded this before the show. He is outstanding on Cousins and Trump. Does it really matter if locker rooms get along, including a good cheap shot at the Vikings locker room when he started, and also on the team the Vikings are playing? He is high on the Eagles. Rich Gannon in minutes on CCO. All right, H, speaking of Vikings, the Vikings will play the Philadelphia Eagles. We ended up recording this conversation around Rich Gannon's schedule. Rich is joining us now on a regular basis. He's going to join us every Wednesday at 2:33. He is fabulous. Obviously, success with the Vikings, MVP with the Raiders. He calls games with the great Kevin Harlan on CBS. So I started about a 10-minute conversation with Rich on the Vikings because Kirk Cousins has now talked about it today, finding out that he was going to have this very brief conversation with the president. I asked Rich whether, you know, it's a player supporting the president or another candidate. One of the Democrats, if one of the players was visibly supporting, maybe even going to rally, would that cause disruption in the locker room?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really think it depends on the locker room. I think it depends on the leadership on the team. I think it depends on how close the team is. If it's a divisive locker room, it can be a real issue. I've been in some locker rooms where, you know, players don't get along. Players don't have the same political opinions, and some players don't have, you know, the same lifestyle, if you will.
Sure.
And so it can be a real problem. I wouldn't imagine that's the situation in Minnesota. I think this is a veteran group. I think they like one another. I think they play hard together. I think they've got great leadership, and I think they've got a coach that does a really good job. I think making sure that when you build the team, I think when you look at Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer in terms of how they've done it. So I think a lot goes into that, and I also think it's in the individual. I think, you know, people respect Kurt. I think people know that he's a genuine guy, and at that point, I think it's okay whether you're a Republican or Democrat or, you know, what your political views are, as long as people realize that, you know, you're a good guy, you do things in the community, you care about others, you're willing to show up at others, other guys on your teammates' events and charity functions, and I think it's all good.
So you mentioned about, you know, locker rooms and respect, and some locker rooms have worked and some have not. Were there teams in your stops where there was a fair amount of dissension within the locker room, but you still excelled? I ask that because, you know, it seems like, I think those of us in the media kind of play the narrative maybe a little bit too much, or maybe not, where if a team is starting to have success, it's, wow, the locker room is really getting along. Or if a team underachieves, there must have been dissension in the locker room. Is this a situation where A plus B always equals C?
Not always. I would tell you that I've been a part of some really good locker rooms, but unfortunately, I've been a part of probably more bad locker rooms. And I started off in a bad locker room in Minnesota. You know, I was with the Vikings from 87 to 92, and I would tell you that most of those locker rooms weren't very good. The leadership just wasn't there. And I'm talking about not just in the locker room, I'm talking about the coaching staff within the organization, the general manager. It was not a family-type atmosphere. I left and went to a place like Washington. I went to a place like Kansas City where it was very different. It was very conducive to, you know, working together and teamwork and bonding and, you know, trust and, you know, high character individuals and those type of things. And then, of course, I went to Minnesota or Oakland,
yeah,
where it was the ultimate dysfunctional environment. I mean, it was bad, and yet we were still able to overcome some of the obstacles and the turmoil within our building and still find a way to go out and win on Sundays. And we only did that because of, quite frankly, a handful of people. You know, people like Bill Callahan, who was our offensive line coach and coordinator, who's now with the Redskins,
sure,
the interim head,
yep,
coach. John Gruden. We started bringing in the right type of players, the Jerry Rices, the Ron Woodsons, the, you know, Trace Armstrong, John Perella. You start bringing in high character guys, and eventually they take over the locker room and they take it away from the guys that really don't care.
Let's talk about the Vikings opponent this week, the Philadelphia Eagles. You and Kevin Harlan worked that game last week. Philly is an interesting team because a lot of talent, Foles gone, Wentz there. I really like Wentz as a player, but because he's been injured a couple times, people have doubted him. This will be the first time the Eagles come back to this stadium since the Super Bowl. The Vikings and Eagles did play last year. How good is this Philadelphia team, and how predictable is this Philadelphia team?
You know, we're into week five. The only better team that I've seen so far are the Patriots, and I'd make the argument that the Eagles are better in some areas. So I was really impressed. I watched all four of their games in preparation for their game last week against the Jets. Now, it wasn't a fair fight in terms,
yeah,
of the Jets.
Right.
But the Eagles, I mean, if you start, they've got four of the five starters along the offensive line of Pro Bowlers. They got a really two good tight ends in Goddard and Zach Ertz. Ertz is a really good player. The quarterback is very impressive. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he's hard to sack. He's got great composure in the pocket and poise. He throws the ball accurately down the field. He can extend plays. They've got two really good runners, Jordan Howard, who everyone here in Minnesota is familiar with,
yep,
for 3 years in Chicago, and a really good young back in Miles Sanders from Penn State. He's more the speed and quickness guy to get on the edge. So you know, the receivers are good, not great. Aguilar's a guy that's got some speed. They don't have DeSean Jackson, but Alshon Jeffrey's a big body type. But this is a good offense, and their defense is starting to come around. They had 10 sacks last week against the Eagles. I don't care how against the Jets, how bad that offensive line is, Chad. When you have 10 sacks, it's going to get your attention.
Especially Rich, against this offensive line in Minnesota, which is at best suspect.
Yeah, the two guys, you know, Cox and Graham, you're going to have to handle them. And then what they do is they've got three really good safeties. Obviously, Malcolm Jenkins is a really good player, and McLeod's a good player. And I like Sandejo. I mean, I think he's really fit in well. And Jim Schwartz, you know, you remember Schwartz, he's all about pressure. He can't help himself. In a critical situation, you've got to have it, a third down situation, game all that, whatever it is, he's going to bring pressure. And it's not just five- and six-man pressures. It's all-out pressure. He's going to bring seven and eight. He's going to try and bring one more than you can block. The other thing he's going to do is he's not going to let you run the football. As bad as they have been in the pass defense, they have been really good at stopping the run. They're averaging, I think, just a little over 3 yards a rush against them. They get those wide nines. They do a great job getting an extra defender down around the line of scrimmage. They discourage you from trying to run the football.
The Vikings did what they were supposed to do last week against the Giants. The way you're laying it out, I think this is going to be a great test to see what the Vikings can do against an elite team. If you want to buy into the Vikings as a team that can get better, that can match up with upper-level teams, including at home, use that as your advantage. This is a perfect team coming in.
Yeah, set aside what you saw on film from the Jets. Just go take a look at the Green Bay Packer-Eagles game from 2 weeks ago and see what the Eagles did on a short week. They went into Lambeau Field and they punched them right in the mouth.
Yep.
They absolutely were the more physical team. They wore them down late in that game. They ran the football right at them, and to me, that got my attention. That's really where I started looking at this offensive line. This is a big, strong, powerful group that will maul you in the running game. They've got, you know, as I said, you look at the – I mean, literally – four of the five starters are Pro Bowlers. Peters is a Pro Bowler at the left tackle. Kelce at the center. You got Brooks at the right guard, and you've got Johnson at the right tackle. These are big guys. They do a really good job in their run game assignments, and they roll in three different backs. I didn't even talk about Darren Sproles.
Sure.
This is a and they've got an offensive minded coach in Doug Peterson that's not afraid to take calculated risk. He will go for it on fourth down. He'll go for two-point conversions, even when it doesn't even seem to make sense when they're up by seven. I mean, he does some unusual things that you have to prepare for if you're Mike Zimmer.
Rich, great stuff. Appreciate the time. Travel safe. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, brother.
He is fabulous. You just heard it. Rich Gannon. We're fortunate enough to have him on every Wednesday at 2:33. We're back in moments. And I always check out Rich and Kevin Harlan when they're working on CBS. Back here on the Home of the Twins, WCCO. 2:49, that's the Linda's Construction Time Check. Time to get a quote on the world's toughest gutters. Leaf Guard, pretty powerful statement by Adam Carter off air saying he hates women's sports. I mean, Dan, I did not see that coming. Did you?
It was strong.
Yeah.
No, I did not see that coming. Especially as a father of daughters.
You want to elaborate on that a little bit, Adam? You want to share that with the rest of America?
No.
No.
I don't hate women's sports.
Well, all I know is
I coach women's sports.
Oh, yeah. You sit there and you look at the platypus is exploding while you keep score.
No, that's during the show.
You put a poll out there. Who's going to win next? Is that what it was?
No, I said now that the Twins are done, who has the focus of your sporting eye?
Yeah, and did you put...
No, I failed.
Like the women's volleyball team?
My apologies to Hugh McCutcheon. I did not include the Gopher women's.
How about Lindsey Whalen's team?
I did not. With more short term, I didn't put the Gopher men's basketball team in there either.
Yeah.
It's more really whose seasons are starting right now.
Yeah. Women's volleyball is going on right
now. I know, and my apologies.
Yeah. Dan, was that sincere? I don't.
It sounded like please stop adding me is what it sounded like.
Yeah, I think so. Is Hillary Clinton really going to jump in the race? This is just, she's having fun with this. She's promoting her book. He's daring her, and she's saying, don't tempt me. Joe's falling flat in his face. Elizabeth Warren has the lead right now. A lot of people doubting her. By the way, It better not come out that she did lie about this whole she lost her first job because of pregnancy. Because I don't know if she can have two major lies starting things out. Field to Burn. How about Field to Burn admitting, hey, I'm gonna slow things down a little bit. What would happen, Carter, if Hillary announced in the next month she is jumping back into the race? We would acknowledge right now the race is still wide open for the Democrats,
yes.
Right? That it appears you've got three right now who can win. Warren, Biden, Sanders. I'm sorry. Does anybody think right now that's George W. Bush in 99, that's Bill Clinton in 91, that's Barack Obama in 07, that's Ronald Reagan in 79? They might turn out to be great presidents, but they, outside of Warren, they're not really energizing the base. And Warren has so many questions whether she can actually win a general election. I'm absolutely in that category with huge question marks about whether she can win. She runs. I got nobody to vote for. Hillary Clinton jumps into the race. Is she a factor at all? My gut tells me no. I say no. There are too many Democrats who are furious at her for allowing Trump to become president, saying she ran an awful campaign, never went to Wisconsin. They're tired of the Clintons. Move on. My gut tells me she's relevant. I am 99.9% certain she's not jumping in. But when it's out there, I thought it was worth a couple minutes of conversation. Cook.
I don't think she's jumping in. I think she's out there dying to be asked to jump in.
Oh, if asked, she's going to run to it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think she's going to do it on her own. The only spot where I could see her being a factor is just because she's a Clinton and, you know, they have access to so many donors. Could she just raise so much money to dwarf what some of the other candidates are doing? Does that make her obviously a factor right out of the gate?
I wonder if she could raise that money right now. What do you think, Carter? I mean, their network is number two behind Obama's. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure a lot of those folks are still looking for somebody to emerge and are thinking they wouldn't be crushed if somebody else jumped in. I just don't think they want her to be it. Do you?
I don't think so. But, I mean, if she could raise money and suddenly that there were a feeling like, oh, man, this is her vindication against him, they'd jump behind her.
I don't want to watch another Clinton-Trump campaign for 8 months myself. How about what is going on in California? PG&E was set to start the second phase of the power shutoff to deal with the wildfire risk, okay? Adding to the growing number of people with power off. We're now up to 450,000 residents who do not have power because of the concern about the wildfire. I get it. I mean, this area has been unbelievably devastated before. Lives lost. PG&E has taken all sorts of criticism. I'm just trying to remember other circumstances, guys, where one of the biggest cities, most populous areas in America, and we're saying just the way things are constructed, we're turning your power off. Just want to let you know because we're concerned about what could take place. We had what? New York? When was that? Like, was it 2 months ago again? We had another power outage, mm-hmm. which, you know, people were like, wait a second, what does this mean? We've had unintentional circumstances, which aren't that different from what happened in New York. But really, this is the setup in Northern California now. And by the way, high winds, that's a part of Northern California. Is this going to happen on a regular basis? Here are high winds, well, turn the power
unless
off.
Unless they figure something else out and preventative measures, then I would assume so, yes.
It's pretty stunning that the setup at this level, that this is what you have to do in 2019.
There's got to be something that can be done. You can't just be shutting people's power down for stretches of time because you might set a fire.
I think
if a line goes down, I mean, you can't do that.
I think the issue becomes, you know, when you look back at what was taking place last year when it was just devastating, is the enormous costs they have to do, the way the lines are all set up to make sure, by the way, to try to limit that if a wildfire does take place and it conflicts with the lines and then deal with it. I think it was like billions of dollars. But it is to me just remarkable that we're at this point and this is what you have to do. And I mean, we're just short of 500,000. Where are we headed?
That's the question. Is because it's not like, you know, the way that the climate's going, that this is going to change anytime soon. So you have to be figuring out, working on some sort of mitigation process outside of this, because this is unacceptable.
Which one of the three of us would handle life without power the best? No power, let's say, for 3 days.
I vote Carter.
Carter, are you voting yourself that you would be the one who could deal with the...
I don't know.
I don't think any of us are very good.
There was a summer storm, was it 5-6 years ago, that knocked out power at my apartment for about 3 days. I was a complete mess.
That's a long time.
It was almost
metro area.
I was almost Lord of the Flies there for a bit. I mean, it was not good.
Yeah. When I lived in a small town in Iowa, we had a storm knock out our power, and I want to say it was like 4 or 5 days. And I was like, man, do I miss living in a big city when this stuff gets fixed?
No kid. And this is saying you can't use other resources. You can't go elsewhere. You just have to. Clearly, it's not me.
It's amazing how quickly your brain does not cope with that either. Like, you just assume the microwave's still working. Well, what the hell? Oh, yeah.
Wait a second. What do I do
can't
without.
This microwave doesn't
just
work.
Just sit there at the light switch for about 10 minutes going, what's going on? I don't understand.
Wait, people live without DirecTV? Wait a second. What's going on? Okay, we're done today. Again, we jumped on the show Twitter was it Friday we jumped on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of people follow us. We're trying to give you a combination of some nonsense, some seriousness, picking up on what's going on, picking up on others. I would greatly appreciate if others would follow. Adam chimes in. Dan chimes in. You can follow us at Chad Hartman Show. We put up the preview show.
Yep.
The preview show is still available. We're still paying attention to Facebook. Tomorrow, since the president is coming to town and so is the VP, a book which is drawing a lot of praise on Mike Pence. The author of that is at 12:35. We have reached out to multiple people. We're feeling pretty good that Jacob Frey, the mayor, is going to join us. We've reached out to a top Republican in this state because we'd like to have another Republican on to talk about the president's visit. Dara, and by the way, the way the day is going to play out with the president in town. So always check out the show, WCCRadio.com/Chad, and listen to the station in total, the app, radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.